I was worried about being rich. I was worried about this abundance of money coming in. And the truth of the matter is, the money is good, but my first album was there was a lot of talk of me being broke on it, not having any money, and my woes about this and that and depression and stuff. And I was worried about not having anything to talk about. Like, what can I focus on if I've already got everything?
By the end of 2001, Eminem and Dr. Dre were ranked as the joint second highest grossing act in the world, only being beaten by the all-conquering boy band NSYNC. The duo's combined gross of just under $250 million was listed as such because of their joint tour. So much for hip-hop being a niche market. This now legendary working partnership was unleashed once more to work on Eminem's forthcoming new album. This time, the race question that had so repeatedly been thrown in his face early on in his career had now largely dissipated. Indeed, in interviews, he was overtly sarcastic and disdainful at being asked the repetitive question of how being white affected his rap career. His success had been such that he was no longer seen as a Dr. Dre sidekick, but instead was now almost universally accepted as a fully fledged hip-hop megastar in his own right. Indeed, Dre was keen to have Eminem collaborate on his own Chronic 2001 album, a suitably strong successor to the seminal Chronic album itself. Whilst Eminem was in the studio, all manner of rumours abounded about what the album would be like, and indeed what state of mind he was currently in. Some suggested the rapper had given up drinking and the rap lifestyle altogether. Others even went as far as to state he had found God. Stylistic hints of rock and even gospel were talked about, while outsiders worried that such stories seemed to suggest Eminem's crucial cutting edge might have been blunted by all the complicated recent events, both in and outside of the music industry. Add these concerns to the fact that he could hardly still rap about being a broken, struggling artist, and this left some cynics claiming that maybe he had had his day. Dr. Dre was the first to belittle these rumours. He had been splitting the production duties with Eminem and revealed that the new record would be Eminem to the fullest. As his credibility soared and his value as a hip-hop name grew further, Eminem himself started to follow a similar career path to that of his mentor, Dr. Dre. He'd already had a hand in production work for his own records, of course, plus he was an accomplished DJ. In between his third and fourth albums, he began actual production duties on some of the genre's most revered names. Most notable of all, perhaps, was his work on Jay-Z's The Blueprint, helming the chair for the track Renegade. Dre observed when they began to work together on the next album how Eminem's technical skills had blossomed, noting that his production skills are getting real nice. Despite the demands of world tours and an almost constant media frenzy, Eminem delivered his new solo record amidst tight security in the early part of 2002, with the title The Eminem Show. He had acknowledged with his previous record that the touring treadmill often stifled his creativity, through sheer lack of opportunity to write, but once he started work, his creative juices soared, and he completed the project in not much more than the 8 weeks he'd needed for the Marshall Mathers LP. Unfortunately, his fourth studio album was the victim of a mass internet piracy weeks before its intended launch. This was the continuation of an ongoing problem that had sprung up with the advances of MP3 file technology and had come to a head with many record companies suing the file-swapping site Napster. The widespread pirating of Eminem's new album was one of the worst examples. A month before its scheduled release, pirate copies of the new release were said to be changing hands on New York street corners for only $5. This was not the first time he'd been the subject of such a ploy. The Grammys duet with Elton John was intended to be released as a charity single, but hundreds of thousands of downloads from the web scuppered this idea. The theft of the Eminem Show occurred despite the fact that it was one of the most closely guarded albums in music history. No one at the record company had a personal copy. Any journalist who wished to review it in advance had to attend secure listening sessions, where the album was played to an audience from one master tape, following which the audience was escorted away and the tape removed and taken to a secret location. Despite these efforts, however, all 20 songs on the album were leaked by early May 2002, a full 10 days earlier than the similar web leak for Eminem's previous album. Interscope representatives expressed their frustration, but pointed out that some albums, such as Korn's Untouchables, were leaked 2 months prior to release. System of a Down had even suffered the frustration of tracks that were only being considered for their new album appearing on the internet. Elsewhere, industry experts bemoaned the practice of piracy, saying the fact that 2001's biggest-selling album, Linkin Park's Hybrid Theory, only sold 5 million copies, reflected how deeply this issue could affect the music industry. Eminem was a little more blunt in his disgust. He was incensed and appeared in various magazines and newspapers, saying if he got hold of the culprits, he would not be, shall we say, over-friendly. The problem Eminem had was a matter of principle. Although he was now reputed to be one of the wealthiest young musicians in the world, worth tens of millions of dollars, it was not so long ago that he was working for $5.50 an hour at Gilbert's Lodge, a rustic restaurant in St. Clair Shores, to provide for Kim and a very young Haley. He has since revealed that he would often read out food orders in rhyme, and he was a popular employee, but the cash at the end of the week was no less important now as it was then. In his public denouncements of these pirates, Eminem referenced these hard early days and made it clear he saw no distinction between stealing from a poor man and stealing from a wealthy man. Back then, he was working 60 hours a week and living in a shabby neighbourhood plagued by drugs and gun crime, where his flat was regularly broken into. Now he could afford to live in any city and in any house he wanted, but the ethics were the same. As he said, he'd worked his 9-to-5 and he wanted his paycheck. By way of responding to this malpractice, Interscope decided to release the new album early and tagged the release quite rightly as a record for which the world couldn't wait.